September 12, 1987, Bradford, Pennsylvania. 50-year-old Dale Kerstetter shows up for his overnight shift as a security guard at the Corning Glassworks plant. The following morning, Dale is discovered to be missing. A check of the security tape uncovers footage of Dale walking through the plant alongside an unidentified masked intruder, and it turns out that $250,000 worth of platinum was stolen that night. The footage causes debate about whether Dale was an innocent victim or a willing participant in the robbery, but he is never heard from again. After that, the trail went cold. Hello everyone, and welcome to the latest minisode of The Trail Went Cold. I'm your host Robin Warder, and today we will be covering another classic case which was featured on Unsolved Mysteries, the 1987 disappearance of Dale Kerstetter. This is one of the more popular and heavily discussed segments from the show, and I've had numerous requests to cover it on the podcast. It's yet another cold case where there's very little information available about it online besides the Unsolved Mysteries segment. The intriguing thing about this disappearance is that no one could be certain if the victim was abducted and murdered, or if they actually took off on their own and went on the run because they committed a serious crime. I previously featured this case in an article I wrote for listfirst.com titled 10 Unsolved Mysteries with Creepy Surveillance Footage, which was originally published in August of 2015. As you'll soon find out, one of the keys to solving this case is interpreting a key piece of surveillance footage. And yes, I know that surveillance footage has been a major element in 4 out of the last 5 cases I've featured on this podcast, but what can I say, it adds so much intrigue to these mysteries. But before we get started, just a brief reminder that The Trail Went Cold is a weekly podcast which alternates between our regular full-length episodes and 15 to 20 minute minisodes like this one. We deliver either a new full-length episode or a new minisode every Wednesday. We're currently available for download on several platforms, including iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play Music. So if you like this podcast, be sure to subscribe to it, and please leave us a rating or a review at any of those sites, as that will help us garner more exposure. The Trail Went Cold has its own PayPal account and a donate button on the website. If there's anyone out there who's feeling generous and wants to make a donation, we would greatly appreciate it, and we'll be sure to give you a shout-out on a future episode. We actually have a few new donors this week, including Sheldon, Vanessa, and Mike, who also happens to be the same listener who requested we cover the Gene Moore case last week. So thank you very much, guys. So with that out of the way, let us now get started and examine the unsolved disappearance of Dale Kerstetter. Our story begins in the town of Bradford, Pennsylvania in 1987. Our central figure is 50-year-old Dale Kerstetter, who has been divorced for 10 years, but has 6 children whom he is very close to. For the past 29 years, Dale has been employed by the local Corning Glassworks plant, which manufactures electronics. For most of his tenure there, Dale was a trades worker, but he has recently been reassigned to work as a security guard, which doesn't thrill him too much, since it involves working overnight and taking a pay cut of around $5,000 to $7,000 per year. Anyway, at approximately 11 p.m. on September 12th, Dale shows up at the plant to work the graveyard shift as a security guard, and he is going to spend the night watching over the 112,000 square foot factory alone. At 7 a.m. the following morning, another security guard shows up to relieve Dale, only to discover that he has gone missing without explanation. Dale's disappearance is pretty baffling, because his truck is still in the parking lot with the keys in the ignition. Dale's day pack and a full carton of cigarettes are still inside the truck, along with the holster for a .22 caliber gun he always carried. Dale's keys to the plant and a newspaper are found on a table in the cafeteria, along with his lunch pail, which still has all his uneaten food inside of it. Later that day, a police dog is brought in and it picks up Dale's scent, tracing it from the cafeteria to the second floor. The scent comes to an end at the plant's glass furnace, which is ordinarily used to manufacture long glass rods for electric resistors. At this point, the demand for these rods was low, and the furnace was only fired up a couple times per year, so Dale would not ordinarily visit this area as part of his normal security rounds. Neither Dale nor his missing .22 caliber gun are found, and no one could figure out what happened until 4 days later, when the plant's personnel manager decided to check the security tape from the facility's 3 security cameras. A shocking discovery would be made. The surveillance footage would reveal the presence of an unidentified masked intruder walking through the plant that night. He would appear in numerous shots from the different cameras at various intervals between midnight and 1 a.m. In one of the shots, the intruder is seen meeting up with Dale in the back of the plant. They both walk past the security camera together before disappearing out of frame. During this time, Dale appears to look up and stare directly at the camera. In another shot, the camera captures the intruder entering the area where the glass furnace is located. This is the same location where the police dog tracked Dale's scent, but he is not seen in the footage. The intruder then pops up on the camera one more time, and this time, he is shown wheeling a large bag through the plant on a manual forklift. It is now apparent that some sort of theft has taken place, so the area containing the glass furnace was checked again. The entire furnace was lined with platinum in order to withstand the heat of glassmaking, and sure enough, it turned out this platinum had been removed, likely with a saw of some sort. The estimated value of this stolen platinum was around $250,000. On the surface, it seemed like the intruder forced Dale to escort him to the area containing the glass furnace, where he proceeded to steal the platinum lining, and subsequently murdered Dale and disposed of his body. However, upon further review of the security tape, Corning Glassworks management started to have doubts that Dale was just an innocent victim. Like I mentioned earlier, during the footage where Dale and the intruder are walking through the plant together, Dale looks up and stares directly at the camera. While this can be interpreted as Dale making an attempt to signal for help, his employers thought he may have been taunting them. What if Dale was willingly escorting this intruder to the platinum because he was a participant in the heist, and subsequently decided to skip town with his share of the profits? At the time, Dale was in debt, and not too happy that his employer had decided to cut his pay and give him an overnight security job, so Corning did not think it was far-fetched that Dale might have decided to rip them off. There were no signs of forced entry or violence at the plant, so the theft did seem to have the makings of an inside job. However, Dale's family strongly disagreed with Corning's theory, and felt that he would never have gotten himself involved with anything illegal, or took off and abandoned his children. But whatever the truth, Dale Kerstetter was never found, the stolen platinum was never recovered, and the masked intruder from the surveillance footage was never identified. So I guess you could say, the trail went cold. So was Dale Kerstetter murdered that night, or did he participate in the heist and go off to live in luxury somewhere with his cut of the score? Well, this is one of those mysteries where the passage of time makes one solution far more likely. The Unsolved Mystery segment about this case originally aired in October of 1989, just 2 years after Dale's disappearance, so there was always a chance that he could resurface at some point. However, we're now at the point where nearly 30 years have passed, and no one has ever uncovered any evidence to suggest that Dale is still alive. Dale's teenage son Al was still living with his father at the time he went missing, and was interviewed during the Unsolved Mystery segment. Al stated that maybe his dad was living in Canada or Australia, and would come home after 7 years had passed, and the statute of limitations expired. At the time, some people might have found that statement suspicious, and wondered if maybe Al had some inside knowledge that his father was alive and hiding out somewhere. But I just interpreted it as a son clinging on to hope that his father was still alive, and outlining the best case scenario for Dale's return someday. Because really, this was pretty much a no-win situation for Dale's family. Either he was murdered on the night he disappeared, or he was a criminal who decided to take off and abandon his children. Well, the statute of limitations for the theft expired a long time ago, and Dale's family still never heard a thing from him. One of Dale's daughters, Penny, who was interviewed in the Unsolved Mysteries segment, she's posted several times on the Unsolved Mysteries message board at the sitcom's online forum. She still maintains that the entire family believes that Dale had no involvement in the theft, and was likely an innocent victim of foul play. According to Penny, her father was only 6 months away from retirement and collecting his pension before he disappeared. While Dale was between $30,000 to $40,000 in debt at this time, it sounds like the type of debt where he was making annual payments on his mobile home and his pickup truck, but not the type of debt where he was falling way behind and being hounded by bill collectors. Penny even stated in the Unsolved Mystery segment that if her father was really struggling financially, his children would have had the means to help him out, and he also had stock in Corning and money invested, so he would have had a lot of options. The family had a very difficult time getting the courts to legally declare Dale dead. Since Al Kerstetter was still a minor at the time his father disappeared, the family was hoping he'd be entitled to collect on Dale's pension and life insurance benefits, but since Corning Glassworks believed that Dale was a willing participant in the theft, they refused to pay out anything. There just wasn't any hard evidence to prove Dale was no longer alive, and he was not actually declared dead until July of 2014. You could interpret the scene at the plant in numerous ways. Since so many of Dale's personal items were left behind, it does seem more likely he was abducted, but it's also possible he could have staged the scene to look that way. I must admit, I always did find it a bit strange that Dale's keys were found in the ignition of his truck. If he was abducted or murdered inside the plant, why were his keys inside his vehicle? But I don't know, this was 1987, and Bradford was a small rural town which probably wasn't known for having a high crime rate, so maybe people just felt comfortable leaving the keys in the ignition of their vehicles back then. In many people's eyes, the one piece of evidence which really points to an involuntary disappearance is the full carton of cigarettes inside the truck, as Dale smoked all the time. I'm not a smoker, but most full-time smokers will tell you that just wasting an entire carton of cigarettes like that is unthinkable, even if you are planning to make yourself a bunch of extra money in a lucrative heist. Whether you believe Dale was an innocent victim or a willing participant in the theft, one fact which seems indisputable is that Corning Glassworks came off looking really, really bad in this whole scenario. It's also worth noting that shortly after this incident, Corning Glassworks actually sold the plant to an electronics company called Vishay Intertechnology Incorporated. The Bradford facility was not in a good financial place at that time, as Corning had been doing a number of layoffs and cutbacks, which involved reducing the salaries of loyal longtime employees like Dale Kerstetter. During the Unsolved Mystery segment, two personnel managers from Corning were interviewed, and it's clear the company was very focused on shifting the blame for the platinum theft to Dale and accuse him of being involved. They seemed so certain that Dale was flaunting his crime when he stared directly at the security camera. In a strange moment, one of the managers refers to Dale as a marginal employee, but then goes on to describe an incident where Dale risked his life to save a half a dozen lives and hundreds of thousands of dollars in property damage by hopping on a forklift which had accidentally rolled underneath a stream of hot molten glass and driving it away before the glass could ignite the propane tank. Which certainly doesn't sound like the actions of a marginal employee to me. But here's the big flaw in Corning's logic. If Dale was such a mediocre employee, why would you entrust him to guard the entire plant by himself overnight? They transfer the guy out of a position he's been working for nearly 30 years, cut his salary, and then force him to work the graveyard shift as a security guard, which doesn't exactly thrill him. And Dale's not exactly an imposing figure. He's 50 years old, 5'4", and weighs 130 pounds, and as far as I can tell, had very little security training. If you didn't think that highly of him as an employee, then it seems pretty irresponsible to put him in a position which requires that much responsibility. One piece of information which was not mentioned in the Unsolved Mystery segment, but was shared by Penny on the message board, is that it was standard procedure for the plant's overnight security guard to contact Corning's headquarters in New York and check in every hour. Well, on the night he disappeared, Dale did not check in at all. He did not even make his first scheduled check-in at midnight, but Corning did nothing about this and did not contact the authorities until 5 a.m. Corning's explanation was that the employee at their headquarters who was responsible for monitoring the check-ins was new and did not know the correct protocols, which is why he never informed anyone when Dale didn't check in. And that's very frustrating, because the nearest police station was located only a mile away from the plant, so they could have showed up very quickly if they were told something was wrong, and maybe things would have turned out differently. So yeah, it's apparent Corning had their own agenda for trying to make Dale look like the mastermind of the heist. It's obvious that either A, they needed to cover their butt and justify why their plant had such poor security measures, or B, the heist was an inside job and other people from the company were involved. It does seem that the unidentified masked intruder had extensive knowledge about the plant, because it's very unlikely that an outsider would have known about the valuable platinum lining on the glass furnace. Hell, even the people who worked there did not even notice the platinum was missing until 4 days after the theft. The surveillance footage seems to indicate that the intruder knew exactly what they were looking for and where to find it. You could say that maybe Dale was the one who provided the intruder with all this inside information, but given the apparent ease of how this person made their way around the plant, I would not be surprised if they had worked there at some point. Now, since the stolen platinum never turned up, one suggested theory is that the theft was an insurance scam orchestrated by some higher-ups at Corning to help them with the plant's financial issues, and they decided to use Dale as a convenient fall guy and make him disappear, so everyone would assume he was responsible. Maybe that's the real reason their headquarters neglected to inform the police when Dale failed to check in, but I don't know, I'm inclined to side with Hanlon's razor here. Never attribute to malice that which is adequately explained by stupidity. I don't think this heist was the result of some grand corporate conspiracy. I just think Corning did a piss-poor job of maintaining security at this plant, and deflected all the blame onto Dale in order to take the focus off their own ineptitude. And part of this strategy would involve fighting the attempts from Dale's family to declare him dead, and ensuring they never received financial compensation over what happened. Now, it should be mentioned that surveillance footage of Dale and the intruder walking around the plant was shown during the Unsolved Mystery segment, but it was just a reenactment, and not the real thing. It's apparently a pretty accurate recreation of the actual footage, but you can't watch it and make any hard conclusions about Dale's intentions when he stares directly at the camera. But I don't think the original footage was exactly pristine quality either. Given that this was the low-tech world of 1987, the original security tape would randomly switch every few seconds between each of the cameras, which is why you only get occasional glimpses of the intruder, but can't actually view the complete theft. But I do think it's pretty telling that none of the footage showed Dale actually participating in the theft. If he really wanted to flaunt his crime to his employer, like they said, you'd think he would have gone out of his way to appear on camera more frequently. Since Dale's keys and his lunch pail were found in the cafeteria with uneaten food inside, the main theory from his family is that Dale was sitting down to eat when he caught a glimpse of the masked intruder and went after him. While the surveillance video gives no indication that the intruder was holding a weapon, it's possible that he forced Dale to lead him towards the furnace where the platinum could be found. This would explain why the police dog tracked Dale's scent from the cafeteria to the furnace before it came to an end. When Dale realized he was passing by one of the security cameras, he may have decided to look directly at it to signal that he was under duress. Like I said earlier, the intruder was probably familiar with the layout of the plant, and decided to wear a mask since he knew he would be captured on camera. Now, I don't think Dale posed any threat, and he likely wasn't going to put up any resistance, so the intruder could have just tied him up and left without harming him. So I think there's a good chance that Dale recognized this man's voice, especially if the theory about him being a former employee at the plant is correct. When the intruder realized that Dave could ID him, he decided he needed to be killed. When I heard Dale's scent came to an end at the furnace, I had a horrific thought that maybe his body was put in there. Unsolved Mysteries once featured another case about the death of a man named Dave Box, who vanished while working an overnight shift at a nuclear plant before his remains were found inside the furnace. I can't be 100% certain, but I'd like to think the furnace at Corning was searched at some point to ensure Dale's remains weren't in there. Otherwise, the most likely explanation is that the intruder killed or knocked out Dale inside that room and then used the forklift to transport his body out of the plant. The last camera shot of the intruder shows him transporting a large bag on the forklift, which presumably contains the stolen platinum, but it's also possible that it contains Dale's body as well. If the intruder had just forced Dale to walk out of the plant at gunpoint or something, then I have a feeling Dale would have been seen again on one of the cameras. The fact of the matter is that nearly 30 years have passed, and there's been no paper trail or any credible sightings of Dale Kerstetter during that time. He has never made contact with his family, and did not even show his face again after the statute of limitations for the crime expired. And whatever cut he may have received for this $250,000 theft is not the kind of money you can just live on for the rest of your life. Unfortunately, I think there's no way that Dale survived that night. It seems certain that the mysterious masked intruder murdered Dale, but it sounds like this man has managed to stay off the radar, so I'm not sure we'll ever learn his true identity. The only way Dale might have been involved in the heist is if he provided assistance to the perpetrator, who then subsequently double-crossed Dale and disposed of his body. But everything I've heard about this guy's character makes this scenario extremely unlikely. Dale sounded like an honest, hard-working, straight-laced guy who adored his children and was adored by them, and he just doesn't seem like the type of person who would get involved in anything illegal. Even if he was unhappy with his employer, the guy was only 6 months away from retirement and a pension, and it's hardly worth jeopardizing your future and your relationship with your family to participate in a crime which only has short-term benefits. This is a tragic story of a man who remained loyal to his employee for nearly 30 years, but they let him down by putting him into a situation where he didn't belong, and then proceeded to sully his name just to cover their own mistakes. But it sounds like Dale's children are still attempting to find answers and clear his name for good. So if you have any information about the disappearance of Dale Kerstetter, the theft of the platinum, or the identity of the masked man in the surveillance video, please contact the appropriate authorities. But if you just have your own theory about what happened, feel free to leave me a comment or send me an email at robin.warder@icloud.com. That's robin.warder@icloud.com. I want to thank all my loyal listeners and supporters out there, especially those from the aforementioned Unsolved Mysteries message board at the Sitcoms Online forum and the Unresolved Mysteries subreddit. I need to provide a big thank you to McGill Foote, who edits and assembles this podcast together for me, and Vince Nitro, who composes the eerie music you hear on every episode. If you haven't already, you can like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, or leave us a rating or review on iTunes, Stitcher, or Google Play Music. And like I mentioned earlier, we have a donate button on our website. So if you're feeling generous and want to express your appreciation for all the hard work we put into this podcast, we'd be extremely grateful. So we're about to hit a special milestone for The Trail Went Cold, as next week will officially be our one-year anniversary. And as you'll recall, I gave you, the listeners, the opportunity to vote on which case you wanted us to cover to commemorate this occasion. So have yourself a good week, and be sure to join me next Wednesday, as you'll get to hear me provide a full analysis of the winner of this poll on our special anniversary episode of The Trail Went Cold. We'll be right back.